Chapter 22. Vulgatis, Divinus Prime. Vulgatis was burning. Flames of every hue had spread across the battlements, dancing over corpses and hanging in the air, dripping from the smoke as though reality itself had been set alight. The garish fumes were almost indistinguishable from the screaming demons that were spiralling through the tumult. Antros tumbled and staggered through this explosion of noise and colour, his bolt pistol barking at the myriad horrors that surrounded him, spewing shells and death. The demons were not his only problem. As he fought, he was being dragged along the top of the walls, wrenched by powerful currents of etheric power. The warp storm hauled him up onto the top of the collapsed section of a wall, and, as he rose out of the fumes, he caught a brief glimpse of the battle spread out around him. The walls were crowded with battling figures, but all of them, seraphim, blood angels, and demons alike, were caught in a furious psychic storm. And at the eye of the storm, Antros found what he had been searching for. Mephiston. He stood above the gates, arms spread, fingers splayed, surrounded by a tornado of lightning and blood. Demons of every conceivable colour and shape were hurtling towards him, caught in the crimson vortex. Mephiston was silhouetted within a fierce, bloody corona, a single point of darkness at the heart of the violence. Antros dug his heels in the rubble and managed to hold his place. Bones, corpses and demons rushed past him as he tried to make out Mephiston's face. It was like trying to stare into a black sun. The darkness burned and blinded, making it impossible to see whether the chief librarian was still in control of his actions or consumed by the gift. A shriek of giggles alerted Antros to the demon that was bounding over the ruins towards him. It was a pink jumble of body parts, scampering on eight limbs like a spider, then six, then two, as its body morphed and flipped into a confusing variety of shapes. Only its face remained constant, hideously elongated jaws, quivering hysterically as it hurled a gobbet of pink fire at Antros. He loosed one hand from the wall and cried out a word of warning, causing the missile to explode seconds before it hit him. The force of the blast rocked him back on his heels and kicked him from his perch, throwing him into the fury of Mephiston's tornado. Antros cursed as he rolled and tumbled across the wall, smashing through the rubble with the giggling demon scuttling after him. He slammed into a column and managed to grip it, halting his free fall through the clouds of blood. He braced himself with one hand and extended the other one, palm outwards, towards the demon. It gambolled through the air towards him, laughing hysterically, and drawing back one of its many hands to hurl another ball of warp fire. Antros howled an evocation. Lines of energy crackled down from his psychic hood, and, along his extended arm, becoming a white-hot blast that tore from his palm and hurtled towards the demon's face. The demon's head vanished before the blast hit and reappeared on its side, still giggling, as its body formed into an O shape, allowing Antros's blast to ripple uselessly over the wall behind it. Sprouting even more limbs, the demon grabbed a bent girder and hurled itself at Antros, crashing into him like a sack of thrashing eels. Antros fell back, caught once again in the currents of Mephiston's conjuration. He rolled across the ground. The demon latched onto him, pummeling his face and chest with its fists and stabbing a serpentine blade into the mask of his helmet. The demon sword was not made of any real physical material, and it cut through the unbreakable ceramite of Antros's faceplate. Fumes and heat washed over his face as the demon's blade raked through his jaw, rending muscle and bone with a flash of pain. Pain suppressants kicked in immediately, but blood rushed from his helmet filling his eyes, blinding him as the demon's teeth shredded bone and ceramite. Antros wrenched the thing off his face and held it at arm's length, blood spraying from his ruined helmet. They were still tumbling through the air towards Mephiston, but Antros managed to grab his combat knife and jam it between the demon's eyes. The demon continued laughing until Antros summoned a wave of cleansing fire into the heart of the blade. The psychic flame pulsed inside the demon's head and incinerated it from within. Antros continued crashing and clattering across the battlements, trailing blood from his broken helmet, and the demon shrieked and tumbled to the courtyard below, thrashing wildly at his own face as it tried to extinguish the flames. By the time it hit the flagstones, it was little more than a burned husk. Antros jolted to a halt, jamming his feet into the rubble and looking around. Volgatis was littered with dead seraphim. The Adepta Sororitas had been almost entirely overwhelmed by the demons. He scoured the walls for sight of a living seraphim, and could only see a few, huddled in small groups, blasting at the warp horrors with the same well-drilled accuracy they had shown in the first hours of the battle, but unable to see through the psychic storm. There were no more than a dozen of them left alive, but none of them showed any sign of fear or doubt. He saw Blood Angels firing too, but they were also scattered and divided, caught in the bloodstorm emanating from their chief librarian. He yelled into his vox. "Squad Seraphis! Lexicanium Antros!" came a reply over the vox network. "Is that you? This is Captain Vitrinus. We are..." Vitrinus broke off, and there was a crack of bolter fire, followed by demonic shrieks of laughter. "Grr! Wretched warp spawn! Yes, I'm with Squad Seraphis. We're pinned down by this damn storm. Can't reach you. Can't..." He broke off again to fire more shots. "No sign of Squad Hestius. Are they with you?" "No," replied Antros. "Is this the demon's magic?" gasped Vitrinus. "No. Mephiston's." Antros was unsure what else to say. "Hold your position," said Vitrinus. "We will get to you." Antros was about to reply when the air exploded with movement and noise. A storm of the screaming, shark-like demons rippled through the fumes, their jaws gaping as they dived towards him. He blasted the first with a thunderbolt, so powerful it broke the demon in half, the pieces slamming back into the second and causing it to spin off into the smoke. The third hit him, hurling them both back onto the battlements. He fell on his back, with the demon thrashing on top of him. Both his hands were locked on his jaws, trying to hold them at bay, but the demon was charged with warp energy, and the teeth were bearing down on his already wounded head. He chanted obscure barlight phrases, opening his mind to the same invisible currents that were powering his attacker. Strength ripped through his muscles, and he rose to his feet with a howl, smashing the demon to the ground. Then he drew his bolt pistol and tore it into pieces with a deafening barrage of shots. Dozens more of the demons sliced towards him through the smoke, but Antros was so enraged he relished the chance to face more of them. He was also disappointed when a wall of muzzle flashes erupted in the smoke to his right. The demons disintegrated, leaving just a final wounded wreck for Antros to stamp his boot on and execute with a few rounds from his bolt pistol. A sister of battle strode through the rubble towards him, her gun still smoking. She was battered, bloody and surrounded by her dead sisters. But she saluted Antros calmly. "Son of Sanguinius!" she yelled over the din of battle. "The Astra Angelus! Is he here?" "Astra Angelus?" Antros asked, surprised. "Confessor Zinn used that name. I did not think it was known here." They ducked as a series of las blasts detonated the wall behind them. "We know who the Astra Angelus is," she cried, struggling to be heard. We understand why you are here. More seraphim stumbled through the storm towards him and gathered around her, looking at Antros. Where is your lord? She asked. Antros waved them on and clambered through the wrecked aircraft, trying to lead them through the psychic tumult towards the chief librarian at its heart. He dragged himself over another piece of shattered wall, and they looked down on Mephiston. He looked like something from one of Zin's tales. Colossal arcs of power were coursing through the skies, knifing down from the clouds and flashing across the frozen crowns of the mountains, all of them terminating at Mephiston's upraised arms. "The Lord of Death," said Antros, awed by what he was seeing. As the lights connected with Mephiston, they flashed out across the steep-sided valley. Hundreds of crimson strands, a network of lethal blood magic, each thread skewering a demon. The chief librarian was the nexus of a vast web of energy, linking him to every warp entity within sight of Vulgatis. Most of them were gathered beneath the huge porch that led to the gates, between the feet of the giant statues, and, as Mephiston's magic tore through them, they were rooted to the spot, juddering and twitching as the blood consumed them. The air was buckling under Mephiston's wrath. More crimson threads lashed out through his fingers, piercing the pink, giggling demons on the battlements. A dome of red power spread out over Antros's head, slashing through hundreds of malformed silhouettes and fixing them in place. Antros loosed his grip on the walls and gave himself to the gravitic pull of the bloodstorm. He bounced and crashed over the icy battlements until he was near enough to see the chief librarian better. Some of the sisters managed to follow, gripping tightly to the embrasures as they battled with the furious current. Then Antros crawled over the shattered lintel and managed to get near the top of the gates, close enough to see Mephiston's face as he began the next stage of his rite. Mephiston remained utterly calm. His battle plate was chipped and splattered with demon filth, but he was completely in control of his powers. He closed his extended hands, clenching them into fists, and, as he did so, every demon held by his blood lightning crumpled and snapped. The scream shifted in pitch to something desperate rather than rapacious, and the inhuman giggling broke into staccato, confused bursts that sounded more like choking than mirth. As Mephiston's fists closed completely, the demons imploded, sucked from reality like water whirling down a hole. Then there was quiet. No screams, no gunfire. Everything ceased. The only sound left was the gentle moan of the wind, rushing across the frozen peaks. The psychic force that had been dragging Antros towards his lord ceased, and he fell backwards, wrong-footed by the sudden absence of resistance. He landed in a mound of blood-slick rubble, and saw that Mephiston had lowered his hands, and was staring out across the corpse-strewn valley. Every one of the demons had vanished, but a newcomer was emerging from the distant banks of snow. It was a warrior, in gleaming white plate, riding bareback on a massive snake-like creature that had gaudy wings and a long, bird-like head.
"He is more significant than I thought, more powerful than I thought," said Mephiston in Antros's head.
"You have defeated his army," said Antros, confusing those sisters near enough to hear him. "What can he hope to achieve now?"
"He is not merely a sorcerer. He is the plaything of something far more powerful."
Mephiston's tone grew urgent, passionate even.
"This is about more than just the blade. I see it now. I see why I have been called here. Someone wanted me to know of this. Someone wished me to see him here. To be at this battle, it was fated."
As the unbegotten prince rode his serpent across the crimson-splashed ice, He showed no interest in the mounds of slaughtered guardsmen that clogged the road. Rage boiled through Antros. Every one of those men had died believing they were fighting for the Emperor. Peter Zarambus had dazzled them with lies and happily watched them all die. He was wearing the same welcoming smile he had shown in Tarn Abbey. Antros stood up and unholstered his bolt pistol.
"He will crush you," said Mephiston. "And I have yet to understand what you are to me. Wait, Lexicanium Antros."
There was a crunch of breaking rocks as the sisters clambered to their feet. Antros whirled around, gun raised, to see Racilus striding towards him through the falling snow. The veteran had removed his helmet, and there was shock in his eyes as he saw what had been done to Antros's face.
"You need an apothecary," he said, grimacing. "You are a disgrace."
Antros laughed. "Your concern is touching." Racilus raised an eyebrow, then turned to watch the scene taking place at the gates. More of the Seraphim staggered out of the smoke to look. Antros noticed that there were pitifully few of them left to revel in the banishment of the demons, and those that had lived to see it were all carrying shocking wounds. The Unbegotten Prince rode towards the gates at a leisurely, menacing pace, and Mephiston showed no sign of attacking. So the warriors gathered on the battlements followed his lead, holding their fire, and allowing him time to approach and call out.
"Old friend!"
cried Zarambus, grinning at Mephiston. Then, noticing the stern, defiant faces of the Seraphim, he laughed, waving at the chief librarian.
"Don't you realize who he is? What he wants? We're both just players in the same game, the great game. He is here to steal your great prize, as much as I am. What do you think he'll do if he wins? Do you think he'll leave you as you were?"
Zarambus's smile faltered as the Seraphim continued staring at him with the same determined aggression.
"You knew," he said, frowning.
"You knew he had come to steal the blade, and you still chose to fight alongside him?"
Silence rang out from the gates, and Antros studied the faces of the Seraphim nearest to him. None of them showed any trace of surprise. Zarambus's face started to twitch with the effort of suppressing his fury, and he began sweeping his sword from side to side as though preparing to strike an opponent.
"Pathetic," he sneered. "After all your talk of vows and faithful service."
He continued swinging his sword, then jabbed it at the mirrored sky.
"Do any of you know what this miracle means? It is a true miracle, not one of those parlour tricks performed in the name of that mouldering corpse on Terra."
Zarambus dropped from his steed, waded through the piles of fallen dragoons, and hauled one up to face him. The man's side was a bloody mess, but a gasp of pain echoed round the silent valley, revealing that he was still alive.
"What do you think you died for, dead man?" he spat.
The man tried to pull away, horrified by the transformation of his prophet. Antros grabbed his pistol, but Racilus gripped his arm and shook his head, nodding at Mephiston. The chief librarian was leaning out over the battlements, staring intently at Zarambus. Zarambus gave the dragoon a fierce, backhanded slap.
"Tell me what you are fighting for!"
The man cursed and spat blood in his face.
"For the vow to stop these unbelievers hiding the Emperor's power from him, to free the Blade Petrific so that it could be used to purge the galaxy of..."
"No!"
howled Zarambus with a snarling, delirious laugh.
"No, you did not. You were a piece in a game. No,
Not even a game! He laughed.
A joke!
The man frowned, confused, but Mephiston nodded. He did not cry out, but let his voice be carried by the psychic storm still howling through his bones.
A competition.
He looked up at the reflection overhead.
You here, Divinus Prime, just so you could play a game.
Ho, ho, ho! But you're good, laughed Zarambus.
He looked at the Seraphim.
He pretends to be surprised. But who do you think was my competitor in this game?
Some of the Seraphim standing near Antros glanced at each other, their stern expressions faltering slightly. Zarambus gave Mephiston a nod of grudging respect.
You played well, brother. I will give you that. I notice the Canoness is not here. I presume you killed her first. Then he hurled the dragoon to the ground and waved his sword in a dismissive gesture. Not that it matters.
He gave his sword another couple of swipes, and Antros and Raxilus glanced at each other in belated recognition. Zarambus was drawing a rune in the air with his sword.
Leave the walls,
said Mephiston, looking at the Seraphim who were surrounding him. Some of them started to respond, but others looked at him with doubtful expressions.
Where is Saint Ophiusa?
Muttered one of them. Others shook their heads.
I haven't seen her since the Astra Angelus arrived.
Now!
Cried Mephiston, leaping from the walls, wings forming at his back.
Zarambus was buying time,
growled Raceless, turning to the nearby Seraphim.
He was stalling, preparing some kind of...
A scream rang out as Zarambus plunged his sword into the chest of the wounded soldier he had been tormenting. Mephiston was soaring through the air, his etheric wings spreading wider as he dived. The Taurus was in his hand, pulsing with hunger. Zarambus smiled as he raised his own blooded sword. Mephiston smashed into Zarambus with such force that they tore a channel into the road. Mephiston raised Vitaris to strike, but Zarambus slipped from his grasp, morphing into a wisp of light that reformed a few feet away, his expression flitting from grin to snarl and back again. Mephiston rolled onto his feet and levelled Vitaris at the sorcerer's head. The blade jolted and spat liquid fire. Zarambus barely had time to raise his own blade in time to parry the flames. He staggered backwards over the corpses, sneering as the blast forced him to the edge of the road.
Ha ha! Too late!
He laughed, glancing at the walls of Volgatis. A subterranean groan started to judder through the fortress. The Seraphim, standing near Antros and Raceless, looked at them warily, making no move to go. Raceless stared out at the huge portico that led to the gates, and sneered in annoyance.
Go!
He snapped to the Seraphim. The Seraphim remained where they were, watching Raceless with doubtful expressions.
You are about to die,
he said, as though speaking to errant children.
Volgatis is coming down!
The Seraphim looked around as understanding dawned on them. The enormous edifice was quivering and juddering, shedding bones, mortar, and clouds of dust. Raceless grabbed Antros's arm as cracks spread out across the walls.
You will need your wings, Lexicanium!
Antros looked down at the sheer drop and nodded. Finally understanding the danger, the Seraphim began leaping out into the banks of snow, flame kicking from their jump packs as they dived away from the two Blood Angels. As he followed Raceless up onto the parapet, Antros saw the scale of the spell Zarambus had cast. The enormous statues that held the portico aloft were rising from their kneeling positions and straightening their backs. There were six of the stone colossi, 60 or 70 feet tall, with features worn away by the ages and empty sockets for eyes. As Antros and Raceless prepared to leap, The statue stood erect and shrugged off their centuries-old burden, tearing away the face of Volgatis like a paper mask. The mountainous structure boomed, spewing stone and ash as though hit by a warhead. The valley echoed with the sound of its collapse, and thunderheads of smoke billowed across the road, mingling with the falling snow. The two librarians leapt into the void as the battlements fell away from beneath their feet. Antros conjured sanguine wings and dived, blind, into the tumbling clouds, followed by a storm of rocks and the screams of collapsing architecture. He lost sight of Rasilis as he flew, and as the ground loomed suddenly out of the miasma, he barely had time to break his fall. He staggered as he landed, stumbling across bodies and the burned-out chassis of tanks. He whirled around and saw the six stone Goliaths, vague silhouettes, towering overhead. The enormous golems waded into the explosion of rubble and hammered the walls with their tank-sized fists, trampling the ancient buttresses and columns with their feet. The noise was incredible, amplified by the acoustics of the narrow valley to an apocalyptic roar of white noise. Antros watched in amazement as Volgatis fell. "The blade petrific," he muttered, his words drowned out by the convent's death throes. Lights pulsed in the smoke, and Antros stumbled off through the dust, gripping his bolt pistol. Mephiston was standing on the turret of a wrecked tank, his hand raised to the heavens. Above him, spinning in a sphere of blood, was Zorambus. As Antros approached, he saw that Mephiston's armour was riven with hairline fractures, a tracery of black lines covering his battle plate. In places, the armour had splintered away, revealing flesh that was fading into darkness. Antros staggered to Mephiston's side, unbalanced by the violent tremors shaking the chasm. The disloyal doubts that had plagued him on Baal resurfaced as he watched the chief librarian quivering and sparking like a piece of kindling. There was something almost demonic about him. Mephiston's expression was still as obdurate and unyielding as it had been on the battlements. Whatever the gift was doing to his flesh, it had not overcome his will. Antros shook his head, trying to rid his mind of doubt. "The blade!" he cried, struggling to be heard over the fury of Mephiston's blood magic. The crimson cage he had spun around Zorambus was crackling like a massive force weapon, causing the surrounding air to judder and grind. Zorambus was hacking at the inside wall of the sphere with his falchion, and each blow flashed with psychic power. But the sphere simply stretched to swallow the impact. With every failed slash of his blade, Zorambus howled in outrage. Mephiston looked briefly at Antros with a quizzical expression. "Volgatis!" cried Antros, jabbing his staff at the tumbling walls and the rampaging golems. "He's destroyed it!" Mephiston hesitated as he took in the epic scale of the destruction. He lowered his hands for a second, forgetting about his captive. Zorambus seized the moment and hacked with renewed fury at the ball of blood that contained him. His falchion sliced through and the sorcerer gushed from the red sphere, slapping onto the road in a gout of blood, his armour now as red as Mephiston's. Gore drummed down onto his back, but he managed to stand, slipping and staggering away from Mephiston, using his sword as a crutch. Mephiston looked from the tumbling walls of the fortress to Zorambus and then back again.
"So we both lose," laughed Zorambus between coughs and splutters. "The blade petrific will."
Zorambus's eyes widened as a shimmering sword blade slid out from the middle of his chest. He stumbled forwards, sliding along the length of blade and revealing a stern-faced Rasilis standing behind him, still clutching the crackling sword.
"There's losing, and there's losing,"
said Rasselas, drawing back his sword for another blow. Cerambus grinned, then disintegrated, collapsing into a torrent of silver shapes that splashed across the ground. Rasselas curled his lip in distaste as serpentine insectoid creatures spilled across the rocks towards him. They looked like overgrown silverfish, and as they reached Rasselas, they flooded over his armour, thrashing and shivering as they sought gaps between the layers of ceramite. Mephiston looked back from the destruction of Vulgatis and levelled Vitaris at Rasselas. The blade hurled a blast that danced over the silver shapes, crumpling their segmented abdomens and turning them to ash. Rasselas staggered backwards, thrashing wildly as the shapes scurried across his chest, pounding them into pulp with his free hand and raising his foresword with the other. Antros swung his staff and added his warp fire to Mephiston's, surrounding the staggering shape of Rasselas in a nimbus of psychic flames. The silverfish moved with incredible speed, and Antros howled a warning as some of them reached Rasselas's exposed neck. Mephiston strode forwards, still calm, and made a slicing gesture with his free hand, scattering more of the silverfish. He was about to jab Vitaris again, when a shape hurtled through the fumes and crashed down a few feet away, scattering rocks and tearing open the wall of snow and fumes. Mephiston froze as a seraphim lurched and weaved towards them out of the whirling clouds. It was Saint Ophiusa. Her power armour was drenched in blood, and there were ragged holes torn in the ceramite. Her veil was gone, and her flayed, crimson face stared out of them from the white landscape. She was gasping in pain, clearly near to death, but there was a wild ecstasy burning in her eyes as she looked at Mephiston.
Estra! Angelus!
She hissed, dropping to her knees, smoke trailing from her jump pack.
The moment has come. Providence and prayer brought you here, brought us together. You answered my prayers.
She glanced at the destruction taking place behind them. The huge golems were smashing through the walls of Vergatis, tearing down buttresses and towers.
I kept the blade safe for you. There is still time.
Rather than looking at the golems, Mephiston stared at Saint Ophiusa.
The vision was you, he said. You summoned me here.
She looked confused.
Of course. You know I did.
She stepped closer, frowning and reaching out to him, her voice trembling.
We prayed together. I would not presume to summon one such as you. But we agreed that...
She shook her head.
But you know what we have done.
She touched her face.
You saved me. You know that we are...
Rasselas let out a strange choking sound and staggered away from them, clutching at a hole that had appeared in his chest armour. His eyes were wide with surprise as he looked at Mephiston and Antros.
I...
he began. Then his words trailed off as his skull began to ripple and sag, like it was a sack full of liquid rather than hard bone and brain matter.
Gaius!
Snapped Mephiston, raising his sword but hesitating to strike. Rasselas grasped his head in his hands and bent over double. Then he stood upright and looked at them. His scowl was gone, replaced by an amiable grin that had no place on Rasselas's face. Mephiston and Antros watched in horror as he stretched his limbs with feline pleasure and sighed. Racilus looked physically unchanged, but they knew they were facing Peter Zarambus, clad in a suit of Blood Angel's power armour.
"Impressive," said Zarambus, lifting Racilus's sword. "Antiquated, but impressive."
He dropped into a relaxed fighting stance and beckoned Mephiston forwards.
"Astra Angelus!"
gasped St. Ophiusa, dropping onto the snow with blood pooling around her.
"He's tricking you. Ignore him. Remember what you must do. Go now to the fortress, his fellow sorcerer. She is at the Articular Sacrum."
Her voice became almost incoherent as she fell back, blood filling her mouth.
"He's tricking you. Can't you see?"
Mephiston was not looking at her. Blood rolled across his eyes as he saw what had been done to Racilus. The blood poured down his cheeks like tears, and the cracks of dark fire simmering across his armour began spitting across the rocks. Mephiston staggered as Vitaris exploded into flame and a violent tremor rocked the mountainside. "My lord!" cried Antros as Mephiston strode towards Zarambus, drawing back his flaming sword. "The Blade Petrific! Remember why we came!" Mephiston was gone, consumed by the gift. As he brought his sword down towards Zarambus's face, the road tore itself up from the ground, wrenched free like iron drawn to a magnet. Vitaris clattered against the sorcerer's falchion, hauling several tons of rockcrete in its wake, burying Zarambus in a cloud of dust and rubble.
"Chaos!"
roared Mephiston, summoning his wings and launching himself into the air, hovering over the plumes of dust. Zarambus tumbled back across the mountainside, shocked by the ferocity of Mephiston's blow. Mephiston drew Vitaris back again, and the ground rose up once more, whirling around the blade like a pennant of rocks. Zarambus cried out in frustration and summoned gaudy, glittering wings of his own, soaring to safety just before Mephiston slammed another landslide onto him. Antros looked back at Volgatis. The golems had demolished the walls and were now wading through the streets, trampling down temples and punching through statues. Seraphim whirled all around them like carrion crows, but their bolt of fire was useless, punching holes through the ancient stone but doing nothing to slow their advance. There was another tremorous boom as Mephiston and Zarambus clashed blades again. Antros was hurled back through the dust and landed on the road towards the fallen gates of the fortress.
"I will find it!"
he yelled, sprinting towards Volgatis. The duel taking place behind him was heaving the mountainside back and forth beneath his feet, and he staggered as he ran. As he neared the wreckage of the portico, the ground was also shaking under the pounding of the golem's feet. He vaulted rocks the size of tanks and reached the courtyard. Corpses lay everywhere. Seraphim and Hesbon's dragoons sprawled over the shattered ruins. Seraphim and Blood Angels were hunched in the rubble, firing up at the giants looming overhead, as other sisters looped and dived through the fumes. Antros clambered over a toppled wall and grabbed one of the Seraphim by the arm, turning her to face him.
"The Blade Petrific!"
he cried, raising his voice over the cacophony.
"Where is it?"
Her helmet was gone, and she glared at him.
"What have you done with the saint?"
"Do not dare," roared Antros, overcome by fury, "to question the motives of a blood angel."
She gasped and pulled away, clutching at his hands, trying to free herself from his grip. As she struggled, her eyes alighted on the distant statue of the griffin, high up at the rear of the convent. Antros nodded and loosed his grip.
"What are you?"
she demanded, staring at him in horror, blood trickling from her eyes. Antros gave no answer, and raced off through the rain of falling debris, leaping through the mayhem and running towards the steps.